Well, I want to share a few thoughts today. Been sharing some things and lately on the voice of faith and something, you know, the word of God being settled. But I have something in my heart that's been stirring a little bit. And I wanted to talk about one of the things that I see and, you know, you interact with folks, not just here, but don't you think we need to grow in the revelation of just who we really are? Who we are in Christ. We've become a new person in Christ, but how many believe that that can expand to the place where you have such an understanding, a revelation of who you are, that you can speak to the circumstances of life and not back down, not fear? And so it's just been stirring in me to talk a little bit about eternal life and spiritual growth. And spiritual growth may not necessarily be something you get, you know, happy about, but I'll tell you, spiritual growth, when you need it, you get happy. When you need it, you're like, oh yeah, I'm glad I did all the workout. You know, if you're an athlete and you get in a race, you're like, thank you, Jesus, for all of the work and the sweat and all that you put in. But it's the same thing for us, that the process of spiritual growth may not necessarily be happy, glucky, you know, and we're shouting and all of that. But I can tell you, when pressure comes, Pastor Sarah, I love the example she used to use. She'd say, what do you get when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste? Toothpaste should come out. So when you get squeezed, what should come out? The Word of God. And so where there's never such a thing as uncontested faith. So if you think, well, this is just too hard, well, then you might as well, as Gene said, you might as well just go home. Not your home, heaven. Because your entire life here is going to have some type of conflict. Some kind of conflict you're gonna have in life. And so we need to develop our faith. And, you know, one of the things that we keep sharing on in Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is that in John 4, 24, God is what? A spirit. And Genesis 1, 26 and 27, he said, I'm going to make man in our image and likeness. That means the real you is what? A spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. Now, you know, the thing that's interesting, there's a scripture in James 1:26. It's very familiar scripture. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So without the spirit, the body doesn't express itself. So your spirit is expressing itself through this physical body. So the real you is a spirit. So when you want to laugh, you want to get happy, where is that coming from? Your spirit, and you go, well, I don't feel like it. So that means, is your spirit being dominated by your soul and your flesh? Or are you saying, I'm going to praise him anyways, regardless? And it begins to do what? Express itself in this physical body and begins to affect this physical body. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And what? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Yeah. So the spirit of man is the real man. It's the real person. This body can't function without it. It's dead. And so for us, we need to know, who is this real man? You know, Paul talks about the inward man and the outer man. And he said, this inward man is what? Being renewed day by day. But this outward man is perishing. So this inward man needs to be developed and renewed. And it needs to be to the place where it can do what? Stand up to the circumstances in life. Jesus did. It says he grew in wisdom and stature. So yes, he came as God, but in Philippians it said he set aside his divine privileges. So he operated as a sinless man. And so this spirit can quicken our mortal bodies. This spirit can affect what sin has done in this body. So when sickness or tiredness comes, this spirit man can be developed to the place where it says, no, no, you can't come in this body. You can't stay in this body. But in the meantime, see, it needs to be developed. It needs to be worked on. It needs to grow and be developed. You know, you think about this, billions, or I guess it could be billions. Well, it is billions. Billions of dollars are spent by people every year to develop their physical bodies, right? They spend a whole lot of money to develop their physical bodies. And the same amount of money people are spending to develop what? Their intellect. Well, how much time is being spent to develop the real person, the real man? And that's the piece that I think in this day, the devil's putting the screws on, and we need to be, as the church, the blood-bought church, be developed. God is looking for an army to do what? Push back darkness. To do what? Enforce what he's bought. You know, you think about it. A police officer has a badge to do what? Enforce the laws that are on the books. You're not making, well, there are some knuckleheads that are making up their own stuff. I could see that, Adrian, you know what I'm talking about, right? He was a police officer. He knows what I'm talking about. So I'm saying, in the scheme of things, what I'm saying is God's word is forever settled. We're here. We're his body in the earth to enforce what he's bought and paid for. He's given us the name of Jesus. We are seated with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. So this body that we have is temporal, but the spirit of a man is made in what? God's class. We're made in his image and likeness. We're a spirit being. So the scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So he's telling us this real person is to glorify God in our spirit and in our body. So the development of our spirit, the real new, real person, really needs to be first place. You know how some, I'm not saying we shouldn't develop our intellect. I'm not saying we shouldn't develop our bodies. I'm not saying that. That's silly. But what I am saying is the real person needs to be first, needs to be developed. And the development of that takes some work. You know, just think about what God gave Joshua instructions. You know, I always say this, if you want to be successful in this natural realm, just look at the instructions God gave Joshua. He gave Joshua some instructions. Let's look at this in the Amplified Classic, Joshua 1, 8, and 9. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." See, this is what we're hearing in testimonies, not letting the book, this word, depart out of your mouth, but you shall do what? Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will what? Make your way prosperous. And I like this part, the Amplified. And then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So nothing wrong with getting an education, but if you don't have wisdom to deal wisely with all that you filled your little peanut brain with, we can look around and see that if you don't have wisdom to know how to use the knowledge, then we have a mess. And so God has given us some very detailed instruction here that we are to do what? Not let the word of God out of our mouth, but meditate on it day and night, observe to do it, and you will deal wisely, and one translation says, deal wisely with the affairs of life, and you'll have good success. So if you want to know how to be a successful person, take time. I do it every day. Just take 10 or 15 minutes. If you got more time, take more time. Just be quiet. Shut everything off. Shut it down. And just be quiet for 10 or 15 minutes. Pray in the Spirit. Take a scripture that is impacting your heart and just meditate on it. What does that mean? Talk it, speak it. Do it every day, just for 10 or 15 minutes. And that will begin to do what? Develop this inner man, this inner person. I've been doing this for a while. And you begin to become what? More aware of your spirit. If you spend all your time studying books, you become what? More aware of your intellect. If you spend all your time in the gym, you're going to be aware of your muscles. But if we spend more time on spiritual things and developing our spirit, you'll become more aware of your spirit and you'll become more aware of Him who lives in you, right? I just feel strongly about this, that sometimes we get busy and I'm going to get to that and I'll take time, and a lot of times we never do. We just get busy, and I understand that. But you need to take every day. Minimum, take 10 or 15 minutes. Take a half an hour if you got a slice of time. Turn the TV off. Don't watch something. Take a walk. Get outside. Get some fresh air. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Take a scripture and meditate on it. And begin to say, I'm going to develop my spirit. That's going to become my priority. Because the fruit of the Spirit, those things, those spiritual forces that have come into our spirit need to be what? Developed. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, they need to be developed. And you need to take time to meditate upon that and work on that. Make that a priority. So God gave those instructions to Joshua. And God did what? He magnified his word above, and he did what? By doing what? By calling his son the word. So he magnified the word by calling his son the word. And he said, you know, and the word of God is what? God speaking. It is God speaking. God speaking to me. So when we take the word of God and we begin to mutter it, it's God speaking. I'm speaking God's will in this earth. So one of the things that in John 1:4 in the King James, in him was life, and the what? The life is the what? Was the light of men. So this eternal life that we've received into our spirit, yes, that's redeemed us. It's his nature coming in. Do you think his nature in my spirit begins to affect other things in me? It affects how I think. It affects my body. It quickens my body. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens my mortal body. That resurrection life has an effect. And it impacts my intellect. It impacts my spiritual sensitivity to God. And so that needs to be developed. And I like this in the Living Bible, John 1:4. It says, eternal life is in him. And this life gives light to all mankind. This life gives light to all mankind. So the life of God is doing what? Illuminating my thinking, giving me wisdom in things that I didn't have wisdom before. Where's that coming from? From him. He's living in me. And his eternal life is giving me illumination, revelation. The entrance, what is that? Psalm 119:130. The entrance of his word giveth light. It gives revelation. So as we let the word of God flood into our hearts, it begins to do what? And we act upon it. It begins to develop my spirit. And I do what? I become a success. And I become and deal wisely in the things that, and other people, they're stuck. They don't know what to do. They're walking in the dark. Because that's what it said. Those who have eternal life walk in the light. We don't walk in darkness. We walk in the light. And in Ephesians, it calls us what? Children of the light. So we are God's workmanship, or his masterpiece, it calls Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. He created us brand new. And so I am a brand new person. You know, you ever think about this? When you leave, there's the scripture that comes to mind in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, the King James, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is what? The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now this is the Passion Translation. I like this. It says, for through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. And this seed, the word of God that he has planted within you, can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside you forever. So that means the living word of God that's sown in your heart, if you leave and go home, it lives forever. Yes. It's not like this wasn't just an earth thing. This is a forever thing. So whatever you develop here, yeah, we're going to see as we're seen. So we're going to have a different perspective. We're going to know even as we're known. So you won't have to operate. We see through a glass dimly here. So our faith has a different viewpoint. When we get to heaven, I mean, we're still going to be seeing, and revelation is going to be given to us in heaven. And the seed that's been planted in our spirits is going to be further developed. So why go to Faith 101 in heaven? Start working on it here. Right? So God's word, I mean, these are things we already know. John 6:63, what does he say? The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit and life. That's why, you know, years ago we used to sing this song, I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I have his life, his nature, and his ability. I have the life of God in me. You know, we used to sing those little ditties all the time. And boy, that would get down in your spirit. And I'm telling you, you can't get away from it. That your spirit needs to be developed. You might think, well, I'm at a good place. You know, you ever see an athlete who's satisfied? I'm not talking about somebody who's maybe gotten to the point where maybe they're on the downside of their career. I'm talking about somebody that's a professional and they're in their prime. Are they ever satisfied? No. No. I mean, when you look at the stories of Kobe Bryant and you see some of the stuff he did, he was never satisfied. He kept pushing himself to further his ability. And others like him. Steph Curry and some of these other players that were at the top, LeBron James, they all work at improving their profession. They're not satisfied. And I said, you know what? We ought to be at a place where that eternal life put in us a dissatisfaction. I mean, I'm satisfied, but I'm not satisfied where I am. I want more. I want more. I want to be able to do more. I want to be able to have a bigger impact. That means stretching when it's uncomfortable, doing things that are uncomfortable, and not being just, well, you know, I'm not comfortable doing that. Then that's not pushing. That's not pushing out. In other words, what does it say? It says we stretch for the mark of the high calling of God. We press. So that means that you're going to have to do some things that are uncomfortable. And the flesh ain't going to want to do it. Because that's what it is. Your spirit will say, I'm going to go do this. And your flesh goes, I don't want to do that. So back to the question is your spirit in control or is your flesh in control? Is your soul in control? You see? So sometimes we all have to admit there's times you just go, I should have done that. I gave in. We've all done it. We've all been there. But we need to be better. I like what Ann Durant says. We need to be better at being spirits. We need to be better at it. What does that mean? That means that we need to develop the spirit man to the place where it says, no, we're not, we're going to do this. Come right along, body. Come right along, because we're going. And the body without the spirit is dead. So it has to come along, kicking and screaming. So this new man, I like this in the Philippians 2:13 in the New Living Translation. It says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." He's working in me. I like the way the New Living says that. King James says a little different, but I like this. God's working in me, and it says here, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So God's working in me. He's working in you. And he's giving you the power and the desire. Where? In your spirit. Now what you have to do is say, okay, I'm going to yield to that. I don't want to, my flesh doesn't want to, but I'm going to yield. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give in. I'm going to do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. He's given you what? The desire and the power to do it. Hallelujah. So this life that we have, let's say this, God is at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I have the life of God in me. That life is the light. That life is developing me. That life is developing my spirit. His life is changing me mentally. I've got God in me. I've got God's life in me. I've got God's power in me. You know, I said this years ago, there was a situation where I lent somebody some money, and they didn't pay it back. And it'd be a lot of money, and I'd be a lot of mad. Because I said, if I see him, he's going to wish he didn't see me. Because I'm going to put a hurting on him. And I'm not violent, but boy, I was thinking about it. My flesh was, and my soul. And so that I stewed over that for a little bit. You know how we do? Somebody did you wrong, and you're stewing over it, and you're stewing over it. And the first opportunity, you're going to say something, do something, or whatever. And I heard right down here, let it go. Boy, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that. And I shook my head and I said, I don't want to. I'm not letting that go. I want to be upset. And he kept nudging me. This went on for a couple of months. Kept nudging me. Let it go. Just let it go. Sow it. And I went, no. Because I was upset. And the more you meditate on something, instead of yielding, you're not going bad for God. It's going bad for you. Because you get over into something else called bitterness. So finally, I said, okay, Lord, I'll let it go. And I started by just gritting my teeth every day. I let this money go in Jesus' name. It was pitiful, but I yielded, and I decided to do it. And I kept doing it every day, and after a month or two, it got easy. And I'm going to let this go. I'm all right with this. And I let it go. And I'm glad because the person showed up here and put their hand out and wanted to shake my hand and all that. And I said, well, God bless you, brother. Good to see you. Didn't feel a thing. But that money has come back to me over and 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 over. So God is always trying to get us to do what? All I'm really saying is, it's Joshua 1:8. You got to yield to him, yield to his voice, walk in the love of God, and just do it. Because if you do, it's developing your spirit. You know, and I share the same thing. If you're going to operate in faith at another level, in other words, you're going to push, I'm going to believe for something, I'm going to reach out and do something I hadn't done before, you're going to have to operate in the love of God. You're going to short circuit it if you're not walking in the love of God. And I told you about 4 years ago, I was not satisfied. The Holy Ghost didn't tell me, you have to do this. I was not satisfied. You ever get up and you just say, I don't like where I'm at spiritually. I want to grow spiritually. That's a personal choice. You know, how many have gotten overweight and you just say, I'm not satisfied. I got to lose weight. Don't show me hands, because everybody in here has done that. You said, I need to lose some weight. What made you do that? You were not satisfied. Or whatever it is. I just use that as an example. But I was not satisfied spiritually where I was, where my love walk was concerned. I said, I'm not satisfied. And the more you read, the more you say, you know what? You need to grow in this area. Because it will affect your faith. If you're not growing in this area of love, you can talk faith all you want, but love, faith worketh by love. And so I chose to read 1 Corinthians 13 at least twice a day. As soon as I woke up, before I close my eyes. And I did that for at least 3 years, 4 years, and I began to notice little by little, by little, by little, it started to change me, change how I respond to things. Everybody's got a little hot button. Doesn't mean you don't get hot, but you respond different. And it's not you. It's God working in you, doing what? His will and purpose in you. He's giving you the power to do what pleases him. And his pleasure is you walk in love. So you've got to first say, you know what? I'm not satisfied. Because you can be lazy and just do nothing. Come to church, that was a great message, high five, goop, and do nothing. I'm not saying that's us, but I'm saying people do that. But you've got to say, you know what? I'm not satisfied. I'm going to do something in this area, whatever that area is. Could be your finances, could be your love walk, or whatever it is. I'm going to stretch and grow in this area. And what did I do? I took the word of God like Joshua 1:8, and I began to say it and meditate on it day and night, and I started to make my way prosperous and successful in that area. That's how you do it. That's how you start to grow spiritually and how you develop spiritually. First, you have to be not satisfied. First, you have to have a perspective that I'm a spirit, I'm made in God's image and likeness, and I'm supposed to be operating in a way that I'm supposed to do what? be commanding things to change. And you got to start looking and say, okay, am I doing that? Am I achieving that? If I'm not, then you need to say, you know what? I need to improve. Because John 10:10, what does it say? I came. This is Jesus speaking. He said, I came that you might have what? Life. That's Zoe. That's that eternal life. And have it more abundantly. That means in the Passion, or I mean in the Amplified, it says the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Well, if I'm not seeing that, then I should be, you know what? I want that. He shed his blood for me. He said, I can have it. I'm not seeing it. I'm going to go after it. In the first place, start walking in the love of God. Oh, yeah. So God is he's looking for us to grow spiritually. That's really what I'm talking about here today, is being more aware of this person that you really are. And when you express yourself, it's really you. It's the real you. You know, when you leave your body, if I saw your spirit, you'd express yourself the same way. That's why if you don't know Jesus, he's not going to let you express yourself in heaven. You can express yourself in hell. But this body is the temple of this spirit man. It's fearfully. I mean, it's this spirit man, I'm telling you, if we become more and more aware of who we really are, we would have a different perspective in life. We really would. I believe it. I'm learning, as you all are. We're growing in things, growing in revelation as to who we are in Christ. I mean, I appreciate just hearing. I don't want a mortgage. I don't want to, I'm not going to have it. What did he do? Adrian said what? I'm not satisfied. I don't want that anymore. And he made a choice to go after it. And he got it. God's not a respecter of anybody. He's not a respecter of persons. He paid for all of us to have what? Life, and life more abundantly. Praise God. So just as, just a few finishing thoughts here. Proverbs chapter 3, and of course in chapter 4, it talks about the wisdom of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. That talks of that to me sounds like life more abundantly. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So in all you're getting, that's what the New Living Translation, Proverbs 4:7, it says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. So in all you're getting, whatever you're doing, get wisdom. And where is wisdom going to come from? The Word of God. So we need to not be satisfied where we are. And I'm not. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied. Because there's more. There's more things to grow in. And I can tell you, we're just scratching the surface with things. And I believe God is wanting us, at least this congregation, he wants us to take some steps and grow. Grow in areas that maybe you haven't considered before. And it might be uncomfortable. You know, how many it's uncomfortable to go to the gym if you haven't been exercising? Oh boy. You know, getting in shape, doing the work up in Pennsylvania. Oh boy. Getting in shape. I'm now keeping up with Eric. You know? But it was uncomfortable to get in shape. You're sore, you're this, you're that. But your body gets in shape. It's the same thing spiritually. There may be some things that you start doing. I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. This is boring. I don't see anything changing. You know, all the stuff we do and say. Keep doing it because the power of God is in the Word of God. And it will do what? Change you. Change your spirit. Change your thinking. And the power of God will begin to work in you. And you'll turn around and go, I know the first thing I'm saying, it's working. Of course it's working. So how many are not satisfied? Yeah. Every hand ought to go up. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied where we are spiritually. How many would like it where they just walk in a room and the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all that's working in you, just flowing in you? Really? We can get to that place. But it takes developing our spirit. You know, I've learned, you know, I remember this was after Pastor Clinton passed. You know, it began to work in me, you know, the word of knowledge. And I remember we were sitting with, we were over in Westchester. Pastor Sarah was with us, and we were with a very well-known minister and his wife and his team with him. And we're having breakfast. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just minding my own business, just enjoying the company. And I heard right down here, he has colon cancer. I said, ooh, I'm not gonna, you know, am I gonna say anything to a well-known minister? And I was learning. About a month later, I hear it. Yep. He's in heaven. But I'm just sharing what I'm sharing. What I'm saying is that however God uses you, yield to him. Walk in the love of God. Yield to the promptings of God, and you'll begin to grow spiritually. It's not hard. Step by step. You know, when I get a prompt, I know Pastor Greg and I do this. If I get a little nudge or something comes to my thinking, I yield to it. I don't go, I checked that already. I don't know. Not me. Nope. I check it. And more often than not, it's exactly what he said. So have we missed it? Sure. But missing it less and less and less and less and less and less. Because we're listening and we're obeying and yielding. And that's how we grow. That's how we develop our spirit. He's trying to help us every way he can. Amen? How many are going to grow spiritually? Yeah, it's going to take some effort. But you start, put yourself a plan down. You know, if you wanted to get out of debt or you wanted to pursue something, let's say you wanted to pursue an education, you start looking at all of the curriculum. You do what? You make a plan. And you say, okay, I'm going to take this course, this course, this course in order to achieve my goal. Well, we ought to be doing the same thing spiritually. Same thing. No different. It's not like, well, you know, whatever. That's what you're going to have in 6 months from now. Whatever. Because that means you've never sat down or looked and said, I'm going after this. I want to pursue this as a spiritual goal. And it may be something small for you. But it may be big for God because it's saying, thank you, Jesus. They're using their faith. And just start where you're at. If it's just meditating in the Word, take 5 minutes and just meditate in the Word of God. If it's some spiritual goal of yours, pursue it with all of the effort. You know, people that want to make money, what do? They spend all their waking hours trying to figure out how they can make another buck and be what? Successful. Nothing wrong with that. But don't do that at the exclusion of what God gave Joshua. He said what? You want to be a success in life? Don't let the word depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Observe to do it, and I'll make you a success. That should be your real primary goal, because I've shared this in Brother Hagin's earliest part of his ministry. When he was younger, he taught faith. And this young man in his 20s came and sat in those meetings. And he began to apply what he was hearing. Exactly what we're teaching. Meditate in the Word. Confess it. Meditate on it. And this young man, this is years and years and years ago before Tulsa, it was still farm country. But this young man came in his 20s. He ended up becoming a multi-millionaire. And he didn't have one jet. He had a fleet of jets. And he became a real estate person. And God began to use him to buy real estate. And then when they began to develop all of that area, who had the real estate? He did. Well, that was how God used him. But he began to develop his spirit. And that's all we're really saying here. Develop your spirit. And you will become a major success. You'll be a success in life. When everybody else doesn't know what to do, they're bumping around. You won't. You'll know exactly what to do. And you'll hit it every time, right. You won't miss it. Because your spirit is what? In tune with God. It's connected. It communicates with God. God communicates with you. And so you know what to do. You'll know. Isn't that peaceful? You can just put your head down at night and say, I know what direction to go. I got it. I know what to do. And you can rest. Yeah. Praise God. So we're going to develop our spirits. right along with developing your body and your mind, but our spirit is going to be the primary thing that gets developed. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that you're working in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We thank you, Father, that your eternal life is in us. It illumines our spirit and our mind. And we thank you that we hear you and we know you because you live in us by your spirit. And we thank you that you're revealing your will in every person's life here. We know exactly what to do and how to accomplish it. And we thank you that you're empowering us to do it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that as we obey and as we sow, we thank you that we'll prosper. And everything we set our hands to, we thank you that we're blessed coming in, we're blessed going out, we're blessed with everything we set our hands to. And we thank you that we don't come up short in anything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. I believe, I'm going to stand here and say, I believe everyone in here is going to make a change and decide that something in your life, you're going to decide to move the needle. You know what I mean? It's at zero and you're going to move the needle. You're going to move it to go. I'm going in this area. You know, I like to move the needle in cars. You know, I like fast. Anyways, I'm kidding. But we like moving the needle. Zero is no good. You know, 100's better. Move the needle. In order to get to 100, you got to go to 5, then 10, then 20, then 50. You got to move the needle. You got to hit the pedal. You know how some of you get behind somebody, you say, the pedal's on the right. Hit the pedal. You know. So, anyways. But God is wanting to do some supernatural things in our lives, and we're the carriers of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Before we dismiss, we always give people an opportunity that are assembled and those watching online. If you've never made a confession or a profession of Christ, your spirit, you know, we're talking this morning, the real you is a spirit. And when you receive eternal life, Colossians says we become what? Delivered out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So this is why it's so important to share it with everyone that we meet, that without eternal life, you won't spend eternity with him. You'll spend eternity with the damned. And you don't want that for anybody. So we always share that, and the scripture is very clear in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead, the scripture says you'll be saved. It says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you're here today or you're watching online and you've never done that or never made a profession of faith, then this is an opportunity to do that. And let's make this profession of faith. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth. I believe that he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I receive you now, Jesus, as my Savior. I believe you are the Savior of the world, and I believe that you took our sins to the cross. You were buried and took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. So I now believe, and I now know that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer and you don't ever remember doing that, we have some free information to give you as to who you've become in Christ. And if you're watching online, if you contact us either by email or write us, we'll send you that free information. So again, thank God for those that I don't see anybody here that acknowledged. So I take it we're all of the faith, of children of God. And most importantly, if you're watching online and you did accept Jesus, find a good Bible-believing church where you can be taught the Word of God.